Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to continue on with a study in Romans. Last week we looked at verses 21 and 22, and this week it's verse 23. Romans chapter 1. And let's read verses 21 to 23. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things." Now that's exactly what this world has done. That's exactly what religion has done. They've changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. That's exactly what has happened. In their minds, in their thoughts toward Him, they have changed His glory. All right, now, what is His glory? Go over to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24, look at verse 15. It says, "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like..." This is what the glory of the Lord looks like. "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." That's what the glory of the Lord looks like. Devouring fire. Now go over to Exodus 33. You have to wonder how many churches this morning are talking about devouring fire. Really? Really? Exodus 33, look at verse 18. It says, "And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." That's the glory of the Lord. It's His sovereignty. His sovereignty. It's His majesty. "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy only on those that I want to show mercy to." That's His glory. Peter said, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty, the King." All right, now turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," and this is so important, "the Word was God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," and John said, "we saw what God looks like. We beheld His glory." And this is what God looks like: the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the glory of God. Now back over to our text in Romans 1. Verse 22 says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Our God is uncorruptible. I'm so thankful for this. I'm just so thankful for this. He is uncorruptible. Now, what that exact word means, it's the only time it's in the Bible. There's incorruptible, but this is uncorruptible. What it means is He cannot decay. That's what it means. He cannot decay. He cannot wither. That's what that word means. That means that His glory that we just read about way back in Exodus is still His glory today. It has not changed. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed by this devouring fire." And it's because He will show mercy on whom He'll show mercy. It says He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is uncorruptible. He's pure. There is absolutely no sin in Him. He's uncorruptible. Now listen to this. He cannot be influenced. He's uncorruptible. He can't be influenced. But verse 22 right here in our text says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." That image is in their mind and in their hearts. It's what they think about Him. It's what they think of Him. Men and women who don't know God, who do not know who He is, they've brought Him down in their mind. They're convinced that He's a certain way. And they've brought Him down to their level, and they've made Him to be a figment of their imagination. That's who God is today. They call Him Jesus. And that is His name. That's God's name. But they're not talking about the same Jesus that we're reading in this scripture. They're talking about another Jesus. Now turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 3. He says, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You might well bear with him. This other Jesus is not the God of the Bible. Our text, Romans 1 verse 22, says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." This man Jesus, this other Jesus, he's preached all over the place and he's believed all over the place. And he's just a man like me. That's who that Jesus is. They've changed the glory of this uncorruptible God into an image just like me. Corruptible man. First of all, they believed that he was made. It says they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made. Look over at verse 3 here in Romans 1. It says, "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh." That word "made" means he became flesh. It doesn't mean he was created like verse 20. That's a different word "made." Look at it. Verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He was. He existed before it, and he became flesh. That's the important thing to know about our God, Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning, and at his appointed time, he was made flesh. He did not begin. There is no beginning to him. Verse 4 in Romans 1 says, "He was declared to be the Son of God with power." Jesus the Christ was not made. Not made. I see movies that I wish I hadn't seen. I hear things I wish I never heard. I'll see a movie and I'll think it's just the greatest movie. And then they'll say something that just ruins it for me. They'll disgrace our God, you know, making fun of him being a little baby, cute little baby. A child is born, but you call him the everlasting Father. He was not made. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, look at verse 56. It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. And he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is eternal. Now, there was a man named Jack Shanks. Have you ever heard his name? A preacher from Houston, Texas, Jack Shanks. And he had a real Texas Southern drawl. And he was preaching to a group of kids. He was doing a Bible study to a group of kids. And he said, "God is eternal." And a little boy raised his hand and said, "Did you say God is a turtle?" And he said, "No, no. God is eternal. He's eternal. from everlasting to everlasting. But our text, Romans 1 verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Most people think he's weak. They wouldn't say that, but that's what they think. They think he's weak. They think those mean soldiers, those just awful, mean soldiers, they were stronger than he was, and they grabbed him and they nailed him to that cross. And that's just not so. He nailed himself to that cross. He said, "No man takes my life from me. It's not possible. I lay it down." Many people believe that he can be influenced like corruptible man. If you take the first step, that's going to influence him, and then he'll take the second. He said, "You can't take a step at all. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead. If you're going to walk in newness of life, I've got to give you that life in the first place." Many people believe he was a good man. This was a good man. Good humanitarian. Everybody wants to go on a mission trip. We're going to go down to New Orleans and we're going to build some houses for the poor. And the church is going to do it, and we're doing it in the name of God. We're on a mission trip. That's not a mission trip. That's a humanitarian trip. That's what it is. There's no gospel in that. Now, if you're going to go somewhere and amidst all the ruins declare who Jesus Christ is, that's a mission trip. But to grab a hammer and nail, that's a humanitarian trip. We're going to do this in the name of Jesus. He was a good man. He was a good humanitarian. He was a good example. He had a good plan. Of all the ways, his was the best. It was a good plan. He had a good goal. He tried real hard. What they don't know is every single thing he did was according to purpose. And when he went back to glory after everything that was written about him, and he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, he said, "Father, the work that you gave me to do, I finished it. Nothing left undone. No more to do. It is finished." Our God is absolutely nothing like us. Isn't that the best news you've heard all day? I am so weak. I'm so tired. We've been up late every night this week. I'm exhausted. I'm weak. My flesh is weak. My God is nothing like me. My God is able to, in spite of me, take His Word and bless His Word. And He used a donkey. He can use this old sinful piece of flesh. In spite of that, this unbelieving world, verse 23 says, has changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds. Birds are harmless. They're harmless as doves. They're just fragile little creatures. They fly around, they just sing, they're just so sweet. And many people believe Jesus is harmless. He's harmless. He's just a fragile little creature. He's just so sweet. Smile. God loves you. We'll put it on the sign and He wants you in His family. Church couldn't be church without you. You couldn't spell church without you. He loves you. Does He? Are you sure about that? Apparently, they never read Exodus 15:3, which says, "The Lord is a man of war." We just read in Exodus 24 that He's a devouring fire. Put that on a sign. Run. Jesus is a devouring fire. He said in Matthew 10:34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." How many people do you think really know that? Really? It is such great mercy to know that. That's mercy. To know that. Verse 22 in Romans 1 says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast." I couldn't help but think of a sheep or a cow just standing in the field, just standing there. What's he doing? Waiting. Just waiting on you. He's just standing there. He don't have anything to do. He's just standing there. You're the one living life. You're the one doing things. He's just waiting to just be there when you need Him. Listen to Colossians 1. You don't have to turn there. This is Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." The only reason I just took my last breath of air is because Jesus Christ allowed me to. That's the only reason. He commanded it. Breathe. Breathe. Verse 22 says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things." So many people have God reduced down in their minds to a beggar. That's what they think He is. A creeping thing. Crawling on His belly, begging people to let Him save them. Won't you let Jesus into your heart? What's wrong with you? He wants to save you if you'll let Him. No, He doesn't. He sure doesn't. He does not want to save you. He doesn't want to do anything. If He wants me to be saved, I'm saved. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, look at verse 11. "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witness, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" Who's going to allow it? or who's going to stop me? That is our God. That's our God. By the grace of God, only by His grace and mercy to us, we don't want to change the glory of the incorruptible God, do we? He is perfect. I don't want to change one thing. I can't. But if I could, I wouldn't change one thing. We all love the glory of God. We love His sovereignty. We love His majesty. We love His power. We love the fact that He's nothing like us. That's the thing I love about Him the most. We love the fact that He's able to keep us. We love the fact that our lives are in His hands. And in spite of us, He will do what He's purposed to do. I cannot mess it up. In spite of me, He will do what He's purposed to do. We're about to see that in the next hour. In spite of me. So because of His glory and because of His majesty, let's not degrade Him with religious images made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Turn with me. Well, let me just read it to you. Exodus 20, this is verses 4 and 5. It says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." That's an image for religious worship. "Or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Let's get rid of the doves with the olive branches in their mouths. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of the cross that has some man hanging on it who could never represent our suffering Lord. His visage was so marred. More than any man. That beautiful man they've got hanging on that cross, he's a handsome man, isn't he? That's not our Lord. His visage was so marred more than any man. It is so unglorifying to Him to put some guy on a cross. Let's get rid of the fish decals on our cars. All they're doing is bringing glory to us, saying, "Look how religious we are." We cannot worship God in spirit when we worship idols made with hands. It's not possible. They become gods to us. They do. Those things become gods to us. May our true and living God be merciful to us and reveal Himself to us and cause us to say this with the Apostle Paul. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Mm-hmm.